And we'll be looking into the Psalms 118. Remember Wednesday night at 7:30. And next Sunday is the big one. I don't know. It is a big one. How's that? Because I'm going to tell you, Christmas is a big one too. But next Sunday is Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And oh, we look forward to that. Any of your relatives that you can shame into being here, come on, one service you could come. Do it. When I was a kid, we had in our family people that didn't go to church. And we were the only ones that they knew that went to a church. So we had people coming from Oakland, Castro Valley, Hayward, wherever, and they'd join us because these people, even though they didn't go to church, believed that they had to be in church on Easter. The problem is somebody's let it out that they don't have to be. And we want to get that established again. Come on, at least two services a year, Christmas and Easter. But let's pray that the Lord will bless that service and help us and strengthen everyone who comes. And that if there's anyone that's lost, that we'll see people committing themselves or rededicating themselves to the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Brother Bob's going to come and receive the tithe and offering. Debbie's not at the piano, Brother Bob, but we can do this. Ask the blessing if you would. Thank you. That was very nicely done. Thank you, Brother Bob, and thank you for your giving. Years ago, I was in a service at Hope Tabernacle, and the Goffs were there, and they were taking an offering for them. And the whole church started shouting over giving an offering. I thought, that's kind of interesting that it would cause that kind of a spiritual reaction. But we appreciate your giving and pray God's blessing. Does anyone have a testimony tonight? Or you want to preach a mini sermon? We used to have the time that we would have sermonettes. How many remember that? And that's just a short sermon. We've kind of gotten away from that. But I think sermonettes are okay. If you have something you want to share, and we want you to share it. How many has a favorite psalm? There's 150 psalms, right? 150. I think that Psalms 150 is the last one. And out of that 150, surely there's a verse or two that would really touch your heart. And if you want to share that with us, you're welcome to. In just a minute, we're going to start with Psalms 118. Since Donnie's the newly elected Secretary Treasurer, I'm going to give him a bonus. I'm going to ask him to read all of Psalms 117. I am going to do 118. I'm going to ask Don to do 117 because this is the shortest chapter in the Bible. You got it? Come up here if you want. Come on.
Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth. For his unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. That's the little bonus because it's the shortest chapter. Now, we're reading 118, and chapter 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. I think it has 176 verses or thereabout. But we're going to read 118, and Donnie said we're recording, so To anyone that listens to this later, you're not going to hear the text, but you'll get the comment, and that will be short. When we read in our Bible study, we do two verses. And the reason we do two verses is because I can track it. If we get into three, it gets difficult. Four, five, oh my goodness. But two is pretty easy. Jim always starts with one and two. That helps us out. Jim, you want to read Psalms 118, 1 and 2? 118. So we read part of this morning, the latter few verses. And now we're reading about Israel. The author of this is unknown, but what it's about is very well known. And that is thanksgiving for the Lord's salvation and thanksgiving for his mercy that endures forever. Jim started us off well. Anyone want to read two and three? Or three and four. I said I could track it, and now I messed up. Three and four.
Let Debbie? The house of Aaron.
Oh. No, go ahead, Terry. Go ahead.
Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever.
So, this psalm is prophetic. Because what it's talking about is into the future at the time of the kingdom that God's going to set up after the Battle of Armageddon and after the tribulation period, which lasts about 7 years. The thing is that before that, in the beginning of the tribulation, the Jews fall for the Antichrist. They go head over heels for a Syrian Jew from the tribe of Dan. And I believe the way he's going to get his foot in the door with the Jewish people is he's going to rebuild a temple. I believe he's going to come in there and knock down that mosque and rebuild the temple. That's my supposition and my feeling. But he has to do something to get the Jewish people on his side and get their attention. The sad thing is that 3.5 years into the tribulation, he's going to turn on the Jews and do everything he can to destroy them. And he will have almost all of Jerusalem destroyed. But just before the last of the people and the last of the city is destroyed, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to give victory to Israel. Now, the thing that's going to be so amazing about that is Israel, who in my estimation has been slow to hear from God and quick to turn in other directions, but they're going to be sold completely on Jesus. Why? Because their situation will be so desperate, and they're going to see distinction so close, and then Jesus step in and save them, and they're finally going to have their eyes open. The devil's going to be removed for 1,000 years, like the song says, we'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth at that time. Now the good news is rapture's already taken place, and we're with the Lord. We're kind of watching all of this, and we're going to help where we're needed, and we're going to do a good job on that. But Israel needs to realize that the mercy of God endures forever. The house of Aaron, the priesthood, is going to realize that it's God. And let them that fear the Lord say his mercy endures forever. We can all say that. Who'd like to read 5 and 6? And so I called to the Lord in distress. The scripture says that we that are afflicted can call and he'll save us from our affliction. How many's done that already? And you know how it works. This is a chance for Israel to find out. They've called on the Lord, but many times that they've called on the Lord, they've already got themselves in trouble. There was judgments that God couldn't take away because he promised and he was merciful and lenient for years and years and years, and they wouldn't submit to him. And then God had to bring judgment. But this time he's going to bring mercy and put them in a large place. He's going to give them some breathing room and blessing. And the Antichrist is going to be finished when Jesus steps in. And it doesn't matter what the Antichrist had in mind. Jesus is going to put an end to him and to what he wanted to do. 7 and 8.
The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man.
And we know this is absolutely true, that confidence in God is much more important than leaning on man. And yet the Jewish people will have trusted in the Antichrist, who is man on satanic steroids. And the Israel has been, what would you say, so hated all over the world. Wherever they've gone, they've been hated and treated poorly. But at this time, the Lord's going to stand with them. And Israel's going to build back up. And Israel will be the capital of the world. We think of all the big cities, New York, London, and Paris, and all of these different places, Moscow, and but Rome, Israel, Jerusalem, is going to be the capital city of God's kingdom. And it's going to be so blessed and so empowered by God. And their trust in God will be absolutely rewarded. Who'd like to read 9 and 10 for us? So we know that the tribulation period is called a time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30 and 7. The battle of Armageddon has been prophesied for a long time, 2,000 years ago. The battle of Armageddon was prophesied, and some of the battle going back to Ezekiel 2,600-700 years ago. But Jesus took away the power of Satan when he was crucified, and he brought victory to whoever would accept it. The Jews wouldn't accept it. They put him off and pushed him away. And Jesus died for the whole world. And yet the Jews have pushed him away continuously. But after this trouble, after this tribulation, they are going to lean on the Lord. And they're going to have a love relationship, and they're going to, I believe the praise to Jesus at the time of millennium is going to be amazing. The time of that kingdom that Jesus will establish, it'll be amazing. Someone 11 and 12.
Yes, they surrounded and attacked me, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. They swarmed around me like bees. They blazed against me like a crackling fire, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord.
If we've ever read the accounts in Revelation of the Battle of Armageddon, it's the most terrific thing in the world. We've seen some battles, but we've not seen anything like this. World War II was awful. I think the Civil War was an awful thing because it was our own country fighting each other. That was really a horrible time for our country. And there's been these other battles. Vietnam, to me, was almost like sending young people to die because we didn't really fight that war. We just kind of tried to maintain a presence. It's too bad that we didn't let the generals, the admirals, go ahead and do their work and get out of there quickly. But we were being careful because of the different powers that were involved in that. But at the time of Armageddon, there's never been a battle like it, but there's never been a power like Jesus will bring in to destroy the Antichrist and all that fight against him, fight against the Lord. Who would like to read 13 and 14? The devil will fight us every which way. You know that the devil wants to take our praise away. He wants us just to keep our mouths shut. But like Jesus said this morning, if these keep shut, their mouths shut, then the rocks will cry out, the stones will cry out. And we can't afford, because it's for our benefit, that we praise the Lord. It helps us and brings blessing and strength to our lives. And the Lord strengthens me, and he gave me a song, and he's become my salvation. That's a new song for Israel. They've almost sang everything else, but this will be a new song, and it will be such a blessing. Who'd like to read 15 and 16?
The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiant.
What is the word? Valiant. Valiantly. Amen. So this is repeated twice. How powerful that the right arm of the Lord is. Man, we've seen God's power. Amen. We've seen it. We've seen people delivered from sin in such an amazing and awesome way. But just wait till he crushes the Antichrist and wraps the devil up for 1,000 years. It's going to be power that we've not seen before. And it's not going to be a battle. You know how we struggle sometimes with temptation and trials and all? And we kind of lean toward the Lord, and then we kind of feel pushed back. It's not going to be like that. God's going to smash them with his powerful right hand. And it's not going to be any back and forth. It's going to be God's power destroying the power of the devil. Praise God. 17 and 18.
I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death.
Tribulation's going to really be hard on Israel. And they're going to see a glimpse of where they could be totally destroyed. So many governments have tried to destroy the Jews. So many people have tried to destroy the Jews. And yet, they've gone into all of the world, and God has blessed them in every area that they've gone. In the play Esther that we saw how God had blessed the Jews in Persia. And God blessed them. He told them, in Babylon, I want you not to withdraw and just forget who you are, but I want you to plant gardens, and I want you to live. And I want to bless you even in captivity. And he did that. And he blessed them under the Babylonians and the Persians. And God is going to give the Jews such hope. They're not going to die. They're going to come close, but they're going to live. And the Lord has chastened them. He's given them correction, but they're going to finally listen and obey the blessing, obey God and receive the blessings that are going to be without. We've heard about the kingdom of Solomon, where silver was on the ground like rocks. Millennium is going to be bigger than that, better than that. Who knows? There may be diamonds on the ground. It's going to be a blessed and a prosperous time because Jesus is in control. Who'd read for us 19 and 20?
Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter.
You know, the gate is really Jesus. The gate, the opportunity. Jesus said, I am the gate that you go in and find pasture. And Jesus opened the door when he died on the cross and resurrected. And yet, so many people have not accepted that. But God is going to extend to the Jews another opportunity, a second, third, fourth, 5 millionth chance, if you will. But they're finally going to accept that and praise the Lord for his goodness and the opportunity. The gate of the Lord will be open to the righteous. You know, in ourselves, we have no righteousness. We have his righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but the righteousness imputed to us because of the cross and because of the resurrection, we are righteous because of him. It's not I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. And so we live under his authority and power, and we're blessed by his righteousness and with his righteousness imputed into our lives. 21 and 22. Go ahead, Evan. Yes. So this says, I'm going to praise you because you've heard the prayers. You know, when people are pushed in a corner, they get to praying. And the Jews are going to realize, can you imagine how they're going to feel when the Antichrist turns out to be their enemy? The one that they said, oh, this is the Messiah. We've been waiting 2,000 years and 2,500 years and 3,000 years for our Messiah, and finally he's come. And they're going to crown the Antichrist their hope and their future, and he's going to turn on them to destroy them. Don't you know they're going to turn and say, oh God, we missed you. Oh God, we missed you. And when they call on the Lord, he's going to hear them. And then it says in 22 that the stone that was rejected by the builders is going to become the head cornerstone, the foundation stone, the most important of all the stones. Again, that's Jesus. Now, 23 and 24, anyone want to help us with that? We're getting close. 29 verses, 23, 24. Who would like to read?
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
How many were in the choir of Campbell when you sang, this is the day at the convention? I think it was at Thacker's Church in Fresno. I remember that. The thing with getting older is a lot of things that we remember, maybe, or maybe not. But this was a song that was real popular back in the 60s and 70s. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'll rejoice and be exceedingly glad. It's actually speaking of a prophetic time, but it's true for us as well. Because we've already entered into the gate and accepted Jesus as our salvation. Every day that comes along is one that he's made for us to rejoice in. The Lord's doing in verse 23 is amazing, awesome, wonderful. And we want to recognize him and give him the glory for what he's done in our lives. 25 and 26.
Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord.
Why don't you read 27? That kind of goes along. So, we read these verses this morning, and we realize that Jesus is the one that was blessed, the Savior. He was the one that would save. The Jews were expecting a conqueror over the Romans. They were expecting to be where they're going to be after the Antichrist. But it wasn't time. If they would have accepted Christ, perhaps things would have shifted, but they did not. They pushed him away. And in doing that, they pushed away their blessing for quite a distance. But we, the ones that believe in Christ, said, I'll take that blessing. I'll take that relationship. I'll take that position with the Lord. And we're blessed as we have accepted Jesus and bless his name. And then it says that he's shown us the light and take the sacrifice and bind with cords, even to the horns of the altar. Jesus is the best sacrifice ever given. And Calvary. Aren't you glad you go to Calvary Church, Calvary Temple? Because it's so nice to go to a church that has a cross on top. My electrician does a lot of work for us, and I forget what he calls the church. Something about Cross Church or something. He likes our sign. Matter of fact, he said, I'll take that if you'll give it to me. I said, you can't have that sign. We're going to keep it there as long as we can because we are thankful for the cross. We're thankful for what Jesus did on the cross for us. Next week's our big celebration, but we're thankful every day that Jesus died on Calvary that we might be free and in relationship with him. Two more verses. Who's going to finish us out? It's to me, I love the way that 28th verse sounds. Because you're my God, I'm going to praise you. Because you're my God, I'll exalt you. The Jews have been a long time not praising God and recognizing him the way he needs to be recognized. The Son of God came to the earth, and the Jews didn't realize who he was, for the most part. The leaders didn't realize who he was, but everybody will be on board after Armageddon. And verse 29, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. We've been washed in the blood and changed by his tender grace and power. Aren't you glad you belong to him and that he has his hand upon you? Praise God. Let's join to pray. Spirit, oh, I need to know.